This week on It's So Bad, the Empire is on the verge of success. Soon, peace and order will be stored throughout the galaxy as we take on TIE Fighter, the PC game here on It's So Bad. You're here with us this lovely day, night, whenever people are listening. What have you been playing recently?
Well, I just beat Spider-Man.
You did?
On the PS4.
The Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man. Marvel's Spider-Man.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
I think it's calling it Marvel's Spider-Man.
It's just Marvel's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was a grand old time.
This is a game that I will get when it's $20 in a year. Because it will be $20 in a year.
You know, that'd be $20 well spent.
Yes.
It did live up to the hype.
It did.
I think I got a vacation coming up. I'm going to buy the new Dragon Quest. And I'm going to beat that over vacation.
Ooh, that's you're going to put 100 hours into it and over vacation?
When I do a staycation in the fall, I do nothing productive but play video games.
How many hours can you sit down at one time and play a video game?
If it's like a JRPG,
yeah.
Especially, like, I would not be surprised if, like, I think when I first got the last Tales of Berseria,
yeah.
I think the first day I played it, it was like a Sunday or something, I probably played it like 10, 11 hours straight.
10, 11 hours straight?
Probably, yeah. I completely lose track of time, and I just dedicate like entire days to like stuff like that.
When Final Fantasy 15 came out the last time, I spent a long time. I had like in between Christmas and New Year's is I have pretty much off for work. I just have to respond to stuff, and I think I took a couple days off, and I spent one day, I played like 7 hours of Final Fantasy 15, and I felt like shit. So I don't know how you do it, but so good for you.
Well, it's because like I actually don't play video games. Like I play them like in bursts.
Yeah.
Like, I'll play like old Nintendo games like right here and there, because that's like I can be done like in an hour. But like newer, like AAA title games, like I actually don't play them a ton.
Right.
So it's like when I get them, I play them hardcore for like a week or two. And then it's like I probably don't play another AAA game for like 4 months.
So you were a comic book guy, weren't you, when you were a little younger?
Yep.
What did you like about Spider-Man? What brought you in, based upon your history?
Because I didn't like, I don't know, the DC people, they were like too perfect. You know? And like I had friends like the X-Men. I thought the X-Men were kind of nerdy. I thought Spider-Man was like the cool one.
Yeah.
You know, just an average guy I can relate to. You know, not every story was like, the world's gonna fucking end unless, like, you know, we travel through time and, you know, travel into space and all that stuff. Like, it was like more like grounded stories,
right?
Yeah, and they had Venom. Venom was cool because it was the 90s, and that's what you do. You like anti-heroes.
I bounced back and forth. I was an X-Men person, and then I like got briefly into Superman, and then I became briefly into Batman, but then I went back to X-Men and also Spider-Man. And favorite Spider-Man, Scarlet Spider.
When I played,
he's so fucking good.
I did the entire game as Scarlet Spider.
Scarlet Spider,
the PS4 one, yeah.
Nice.
That's like, it's like the third.
The jean jacket with the red suit.
Yeah, it's so like the sleeveless hoodie.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's so
yeah,
90s.
Yeah. He had a jean jacket, I think, in the original run. That was like sleeveless jean jacket.
So I don't know how familiar you are with the game, but it's like you unlock different suits as you level up, and yeah, like as you unlock the suit, like you unlock a new power up. But
okay,
you don't need to use that suit for that corresponding power up.
Oh, that's cool.
So I unlocked all the suits, and then but I played the entire game as the Scarlet Spider one.
No, it's so good.
And then sometimes I would switch to the Spider-Man 2099 one.
They have a Spider-Man 2099 in there? Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's Miguel crazy. O'Hara? He kind of makes a comeback in the comics here and there.
Oh, I see. I haven't been in the comics since maybe midway through college.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, Scarlet Spider's back. Has his own comic line.
Yeah. Ooh. Nice. Is he still homeless?
Yeah, and he's like kind of like a Deadpool
oh,
type character weird. Now. It's really strange.
So I just beat. So you saw me. We were before we started this. I just started up Dark Souls Remastered for the Switch. Played Dark Souls 3 before. I enjoyed it so much that I wanted to play the original. And luckily it came out on the Switch. But I also just beat Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh wow,
that game was really good. It was good. If you like science fiction, it's good. Also, it's like it almost wants to be Breath of the Wild. I don't think you've played Breath of the Wild yet.
I have not.
There's a lot to do with bow and arrows. All the game is like bow and arrow stuff. But the bad guys all are these big machines that have like a million pieces on them. And you have to figure out what their weak point is and hit it with arrows. And it's just really interesting. And it makes you feel really good when you nail a really small piece on this really large enemy. So it's really, I enjoyed it. Put like 35 hours into it. I think I beat it.
So satisfying.
It was pretty good. But with like those games, I never get the satisfaction of beating those games as I would with like a retro game.
Yeah.
Because you can just easily start it back up and it's pretty easy to beat those games.
Right, right.
So I don't know. What do you think about Final Fantasy 15?
I fucking hate it.
No, what do you think about, did you hear about the DLC?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because, like, the rest are getting canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking fitting end for that trash of a game.
I thought the first two-thirds of that game were pretty good.
I thought, like, I remember when I got it, the first like, couple hours I played, I was like, all right, this is cool. Right. And then, like, I quickly realized that it's, like, the thing that sucks about that game is that I don't think the combat's as good as everyone makes it out to be.
No, combat sucks.
And like
the summons, you can only get a summon if you have like 20% health left or something like that.
Fucking stupid.
So stupid.
And it's like every major boss battle is pretty much just like a potion fest.
Yeah.
And like I sit there and go like, man, like am I like not leveled up enough? Like am I doing something wrong with the combat? Because like all I'm doing to win is like I gotta like buy like a million potions and I just keep using them.
Right.
And I would watch like other people do like let's plays like on YouTube and like that's what they did too. And I was like, it's fucking stupid.
I also that game too, you beat it, right?
No, I got to the very end and I completely lost interest. It wasn't like I hit like a point where I couldn't get by.
But just the I just couldn't do it anymore. The last like 25% of that game is so bad. It's just like one endless hallway. But that game doesn't make any sense until like there's a room right before the last boss or right like within the like the last 3 hours that has three notes. And there are three notes that are like three sentences a piece that you can pick up and read on the ground. And they lay out the entire plot. But if you don't read those notes, you don't really know what's going on in that game.
Yeah, that's what happens when you release an incomplete trash game.
Well, the thing is too, they released like a movie beforehand that sets up the game.
Yeah.
And I had no clue. So did you watch the movie that set up the game? Yeah.
No.
So it's so dumb. That whole thing is so dumb.
Final Fantasy used to be my favorite franchise, and it's like they've had like three or four games in a row now that have just been complete misfires.
Yeah. Sucks.
12 was the last good one. That was a great one.
I don't understand how that company makes those Final Fantasy games, and then also makes like these like really good Dragon Quest games.
Yeah, well, you know, different teams. But 12 is a Final Fantasy 12 is like a complete Star Wars ripoff.
Yeah,
which is good.
You've told me.
Yeah,
I kind of want to play that game. I have that sitting on the shelf. I'm gonna play it. What have you been doing in Fire Pro Wrestling?
Oh, you know, when the online's working, I've been schooling noobs.
Does it not work all the time?
They have to patch it every now and then. So at first it was like kind of laggy. Then they patched it and it got better. But sometimes they have connectivity issues. So it kind of comes back and forth. But, you know, I like to go online with my sweet created Randy Orton in RKO, the noobs.
I just want to say that I saw that you were online or something and I clicked on your profile on PS4. And then I was like, for some reason I saw like your top achievement was Fire Pro Wrestling. You were like 0.9% of the people have gotten this achievement. It's create 300 creator wrestlers.
Well,
I was like, Jesus Christ.
I don't create them. You just download them.
Oh,
that's all.
If you download them, it counts as creating them?
I guess so, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, my roster is quite expansive.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, quite expansive.
Did you just sit there and go through them all? And like,
oh, well, the best is you can do it from like your phone.
Oh, really?
Like you can just go to like the Fire Pro website.
Weird.
And like you log in with your PlayStation account. And then, like, you just check the ones that you want to download. So, like, you can do it from your phone. And then when you come home and turn it on, it downloads them for you.
So, when you play that game, so for me, I was never really drawn to that game because the single player I didn't really find, at least in the old ones, was that great. You'd, like, go through a bunch of guys. Is there, like, story stuff?
There is a story one, but I haven't played it all that much. It's kind of like, Fire Pro Wrestling Returns is the one I played like a ton, the PS2 one, and right. That didn't even have a story mode.
So what are you doing when you play this game?
I probably do like a lot of, just like random battle royals or some one-on-one matches. Like, you know, you have a bunch of titles and I like to defend the titles because like the game is super hard. So it's always a challenge.
Right.
And so, I like, you know, I like putting the title on someone and then trying to defend it. And then if I get sick of them, I try to take it from them and I just make them like, I boost their stats like super high. So that's like a hard challenge.
Hmm.
Like Brock Lesnar, I think held like my world title against my wishes for like a year in my Fire Pro Wrestling Returns game.
Oh boy. Interesting. Anything exciting? Anything you're excited for coming up? Any games? I know you mentioned you might get a Switch eventually.
Yeah. But, no, not yeah. really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're releasing all the, what was it? 7, 9, and 10, 5, 10 and 10-2 on, Switch, the remasters next year.
Yeah. Fuck 10.
Yeah. Fuck 10.
Yeah.
I want to go back to it though. I will say 10, I did not like. The character sucked. Waka was terrible.
Yep.
Was his name Titus? No, that's
Titus.
Was that? That was nine, I think. Yeah. I forget what the guy's name is.
Well, whatever. Spiky blonde dude.
No, sucked. He is Titus because the Dane is nine.
Yes, you're right.
Titus is 10. Right. Yeah. So Titus and Waka were terrible.
Yeah.
The whole boozeball or whatever the fuck that stupid game with the ball was called was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Blitzball.
Yes. But I will say that the progression in that game, like the circles that you have to use to move forward, mm-hmm. that was super cool with the leveling aspect. But yeah, those games are coming to Switch. And also Fire Emblem, which I kind of want to fuck with. It's coming out in March, I think.
I play Fire Emblem Heroes on my phone.
I know all you do. The time. Which, what, gotcha games, I don't understand them.
But it's like... Yeah, it's not like it's not as bad as like a gacha game typically is.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like they're very generous with the premium currency. I've never spent money on it. I've been playing it for like a year and a half.
Okay.
But they have like a lot of like really cool like player versus player type modes.
Mm-hmm.
And like they put a lot of support behind it because people spend tons of money on it.
Yes.
So they just keep putting new cool modes in it. It's yep. a fun commute game. Give it a whirl.
How many dozens of characters do you have now?
No, I think I have like a several hundred.
Holy mother, well, crazy.
Again, they give it the premium currency like right. candy, so it's like you can download 3, 4, 5 people a day.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But let's get into our game of the week. We are talking about the TIE Fighter. The Star Wars TIE Fighter for the PC came out in July 1994, developed by Totally Games, published by LucasArts, designed by Lawrence Holland and Edward Killam. What's your history with this game?
Oh, I bought it when it first came out. Well, when I say I bought it, I think my grandparents actually bought it, because they played it at my grandparents' house all the time, because they had a computer that could... Oh. That could handle it at the time.
Was it the CD-ROM version yeah. or the 3.5 floppy version?
The CD-ROM.
I had the CD-ROM version as well, which yeah. I think came out in 95 or 96.
That would probably make sense. That's probably when I could, you know, being 12, could probably process a game like
this. Was this your first Star Wars game?
Did
you play a Super Nintendo or the
Nintendo Yeah, no, games? I had all the Super Nintendo ones.
Okay.
Because I was a huge Star Wars geek.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty big Star Wars geek as well.
So I had all the Super Nintendo ones. And I had Star Wars for Nintendo too,
right?
Which is hard as shit.
Yes,
but yeah. So I would go to my grandparents a lot. So I think they bought me the game, and I played it and beat it there at my grandparents' house.
So the first game that I ever had for my computer, which was I think in 1993, I got it or 92. The first computer in our house was a Pentium, not a Pentium 1 or 2 or a GX or whatever the hell, just Pentium, 75 megahertz. Well, the first game that I got was X-Wing. So we had X-Wing, and then I had like Civilization 2, and then a couple of years later I got TIE Fighter. And I don't even, I remember It took me years to figure out that you had to be recharge your shields and recharge your lasers, set your recharge level, because I was 7 years old when I got that game, or whatever, eight or nine.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the first game I got. Did get TIE Fighter. But did you, what other games did you have? So you mentioned you had Star Wars for Nintendo.
In the Star Wars franchise?
Yeah, yeah, in the Star Wars franchise.
I don't know, I think that was really all the stuff that was out at the time. I think, well, Dark Forces came out later. I had that.
Yeah.
And then obviously I moved on to like Shadows of the Empire and...
Did you play Knights of the Old Republic?
I didn't, actually.
No, that's a game that has eluded me
for some reason.
So I, as I mentioned, X-Wing, had never had the Nintendo ones or Super Nintendo ones. Did have, for the PC, Rebel Assault.
Oh, yeah.
The FMV one that was, at the time, like, mind-blowing. But if you go back and try to play those games, it's, like, terrible. Star Wars Rebellion, which was the grand strategy PC game.
Yeah, the strategy one. I had that. I played that a ton.
Did you ever beat it?
I think so.
I just beat it for the first time, like, last year.
I used to do, like, crazy, like, we could create, like, your own battles and maps and stuff like that.
No. That was Empire at War, I think, or Galactic Battlegrounds.
Maybe it's Battlegrounds I'm thinking of.
Yeah, so that's the RTS. So Rebellion is you have your galaxy systems.
I never played that. But yeah, I was aware of it, but I never played it.
That game is... not hard, it's just super convoluted and super, like, there's things you need to do that are so dumb that it just doesn't work that well. It doesn't play that well, but I went back to it and I beat it last year for the first time and I was like, holy shit, I did it. But one of the rules is you have to, if you're the Rebellion, you have to capture Coruscant or Coruscant?
Coruscant.
Okay, because in this game they call it Coruscant.
Yeah, no, I think it's Coruscant.
Yes, so Coruscant now is like how you pronounce it. You have to capture Coruscant. You have to also capture the Emperor and Darth Vader in the game, or have them killed as the Rebellion. And it's incredibly hard because if you play a large map, there are literally like 100 different different systems they could be on. So they could be flying back and forth and trying to capture them is like near impossible. It just gets so stupid at the end of the game. But I did beat it. I beat that game. So we mentioned Shadows of the Empire. I think that was like a really big N64 game. I got that when that game came out right around Christmas, I think.
Yep.
96 or 97?
Yeah.
I think whatever. It was 96. Did you ever play Pod Racer?
No.
No. But there's like... I have friends that are like 3 or 4 years younger than me that absolutely love that game.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You have weird friends.
Young kids with their pod racing games.
I played Bounty Hunter.
Bounty Hunter?
That was fun.
For GameCube?
Yeah. Well, I had the... yeah, GameCube.
Yeah. Never played that game. I think I have it sitting on the shelf.
I think it's on PS2, too. I think I played the PS2 version.
Did you ever play Galaxies?
No.
The MMO?
No.
RPG?
No, but I did play the collectible card game.
Oh, yes.
By Decipher.
I played that for brief moment, too.
That was like, you had to, if you're going to start a game of that, you better buckle up. You're going to be in for a long ride with that one.
That game was also convoluted in how you played that.
I only had like one friend that knew how to play it, and he is like a huge Star Wars freak, and we used to play it all the time.
Yeah,
but yeah, those were long games.
Yeah, in the heyday of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, that was like the only card game that was really rivaling it at the time.
Did you any other Star Wars games that you've played since? You played?
Well, I had the first Battleground.
Yeah,
which
you played the PS4 first one, right?
Yeah, okay. Which was all right. Yeah. And then, you know, I skipped out. I passed on the second one after that brouhaha.
Oh, yeah. We skipped over Rogue Squadron, too.
I had Rogue Squadron.
That game's dope. Do you have the GameCube one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had some other ones, too.
There's a ton of Star Wars games. Yeah. Do you think that this is the best Star Wars game, TIE Fighter?
Could be.
questions.
Could be.
Let's talk about it a little bit more. So this game was named the best space combat simulator ever by PC Gamer. Runner-up to the game of the year when this game came out. What do you think the game of the year was in 1994? Just off the top of your head.
PC game? Or
no, any game.
Any
game? Well, it's PC Gamer, so it's PC.
Doom?
Doom, yeah. Runner-up to Doom. Computer Gaming World added it to their Hall of Fame. IGN named it number 3 on the best PC games ever list in 2007 and number 2 in 2009. Named it the best Star Wars game in 2010 and is consistently featured on the best Star Wars games list, because this is obviously one of the best ones. Just to kind of put this game into perspective, too, in February of 1993, Star Fox came out. January of 94, Mega Man X comes out. March, Super Metroid. Wing Commander 3 comes out. Heart of the Tiger in March. Did you ever play any of those games?
No.
So this game draws on those games, I would say, but I think it does a much better job of it. April is when Final Fantasy VI comes out. Mortal Kombat 2 comes out in September of 94, also released in 94, for me at least, was important. SimCity 2000 for PC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And also Super Game Boy was released, which I had at that point.
What a time to be alive.
1994, crazy time.
What a time.
So, you mentioned that you had this over your grandparents' house. Did you ever beat it?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Did you go back and play it for this? A little bit?
No, because the laptop I put it on is basically dead. Oh. But I did I put it on my laptop last year, and yes. I replayed a good chunk of it last year.
Okay.
So it's still a little fresh in my head. I didn't beat it my replay through because my laptop was... I haven't bought a laptop in like 15 years because I didn't even need laptops anymore.
Did you ever buy the expansions? Ever see the expansions?
No. I saw them, but I didn't. I think the next thing I had after this was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, which I didn't play all that much.
No, I didn't play that at all, I don't think. So I'll say that the game is very hard.
Sure is, yeah.
And then the expansions come out, and they don't like start at an easy level. It's like, you just beat this game, we want to ramp up the difficulty, and they make it even harder.
Yep.
So I think I got 3/4 of the way through the first expansion, and I was like, I can't do it.
Too much for you? Tapped out?
Can't do it. I think the first expansion is Defenders of the Empire, and the second one...
Is it Heirs of the Empire?
Maybe, something like that. But this game was made by Totally Games, who made Secrets of the Luftwaffe, so they were very adept at making... fascist propaganda games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They also made X-Wing, and they would go on to make X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. As we mentioned, this game was originally released on a floppy disk, but would come out on a CD-ROM version in 95. First game to feature the Empire as the protagonist.
Yeah, and actually I think it's still the only game.
Well, you can play as the Empire in Battlegrounds.
But this is like completely, though, from like the Empire's like point of view. Yes. With like a progressive... story that you work through.
Yes. Oh, Dark Forces.
No, right? Dark Forces was the no, Dark Forces came out later. Oh yeah, we had the Sith Lord.
Yes.
I was thinking of the shooting game.
Right.
That was like the Doom knockoff.
Oh yes.
That's not Dark Forces. That's
isn't it Dark Forces? It is Dark Forces.
Right. So the one where you were the Sith though on the GameCube.
Oh,
I feel like it has a very similar type name.
Where's the one? What's the one that you have? Your Star Killer, that's Force Unleashed.
That's what. Yeah. So actually, I didn't have that, but I did have Dark Forces. Okay. The shooter. All right, we've established the shooter's Dark Forces. I had that.
So that's the second game where you're the Empire as a protagonist. This came out before that. This game made improvements on. So X-Wing came out before this, and X-Wing was a little bit. Less advanced in this, so they had shittier graphics. Also, when you lock on a bad guy or one of your enemies, I would say, not a bad guy, it would just be an image of a flat image of what you locked onto, so it'd say X-Wing.
Right.
And in this game, it's a 3D rendered how the actual ship is moving through space, and you can see if it's turning or not. The AI and scripting were also overhauled for this game to make it more challenging. They actually didn't have in X-Wing the ability to speed up time either. So in this game, you can speed up to 2x or 4x the time, so because there's some long distance you have to travel. It's just kind of boring. So that game would have tremendously long missions, X-Wing. Mm-hmm. They also added a ton of vehicles to TIE Fighter.
Some which became canon.
Yes.
Went on to become canon.
Yes. So the TIE Defender was made.
That's the big one.
That's for this one. Game.
And TIE Advantage?
Advance, yeah.
It would, Advance, yep.
The Avenger.
Avenger, there we go. Right, the TIE Advance was Vader's TIE. Yes. Fighter. He had the TIE Advance X-1.
Yes, so they would go on to be included into the expanded universe, mm-hmm. and I don't think they were ever included in any of the movies.
No, the TIE Defender, though, made it to the card game, and then I think it made it to the...
It was in the book, like the spaceships book.
Yeah, and it made it to, like, the tabletop game, oh. which is like pretty much like at that point in time in like the Star Wars expanded universe. It was pretty much if you made it to the role playing game, like that was like considered to be like Ooh. The next highest level of canon besides being in a movie.
Well, they had it in the I had the spaceships and like vehicles book.
Yeah,
that was dope back in the day, and yeah. It was definitely in that. So it was in the, it was part of the lore, the expanded universe.
Multi levels of canon.
But let's talk about the expanded universe for a second, Mr. Chris. What have you? What did you dive into for the expanded universe back in the day?
Oh, I had all sorts of books, comics,
Ooh.
Games.
What was your favorite expanded universe book?
Probably the Tales of the Bounty Hunter book that came out.
And should we explain to people too, because this is 2018 and the expanded universe doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, go fucking Google it. We don't need to explain shit. Just kidding.
So, the expanded universe was the books, the comic books, everything that was around the movies that was supposed to be canon.
Well, there's different levels of canon because it got so convoluted at some point. You had like, I think it was like the, I used to remember it. It was like based on like letters, but like movie was like top canon. And then it was basically like a ranking system that like George Lucas put into place that basically was like one level of canon can override another level of canon. So if the movies do something, it overrides everything that's been established below.
So there were books, comic books, and I think that was it at the time.
Well, there was also another level where if George Lucas just said it, it was canon. That's legit. There was a level where he could just like be in an interview and be like, hey, Boba Fett's not dead. And that like became a certain level of canon.
That's ridiculous. But so they had all of these different books and comic books that explained the universe of Star Wars. And as a kid growing up in the 90s, when there were no prequels, when there were only the three movies, and there was just all of this huge universe that they wanted to keep going, but they didn't have movies to do it until 98 is when, I think, Phantom Menace came out?
Yeah. Well, they had the special editions came out before that.
Yeah.
Particularly the first movie played on some expanded universe stuff.
Yeah.
Like Dash Rendar from Shadows of the Empire. Like when in the special edition where they go to Mos Eisley, how it's all expanded now.
Oh yeah,
his ship is taking off in the background.
They
so
now
do Dash
that
Rendar is now canon.
Totally forgot about that shit. They definitely did that shit.
Yeah.
And they also added in the robot IG-88 in the bounty hunter scene in Empire, and second movie.
Which part? He was already in the movie.
Why can I not remember the
name? So they added Boba Fett into A New Hope special edition.
No, he was. I don't think he was in the second movie.
No, IG-88's in the second movie.
He is?
Oh, yeah. Oh. They're all standing when they go, bounty hunters, we don't need their scum.
Yeah.
It's Forlom, Zosk, Bosk, IG-88, Dengar, and Fett. Don't fuck with me on that.
So what was your favorite book?
Besides the Tales of the Bounty Hunter one, I really liked all the Shadows of the Empire stuff.
Does everybody think that Tales of the Bounty Hunter is the best?
That and like Tales from Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
Are both two. Well, no, the Thrawn trilogy, I think, is what everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Is
yeah.
what everyone,
I feel like the
holds in high regard.
The gateway drug, if you will, is Tales of the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, then you go back and you get the other stuff.
Yeah, and you go Thrawn and.
But, the Dark Empire comic book series that Dark Horse did, that was also really good. That was the one that, like, it first brought back the Emperor.
Yeah.
And I think like they just kind of accepted it as like, yeah, the Emperor is like cloning himself and bringing himself back. And it impacted like all the other stories that were coming out at that time.
Right. I didn't get into Thrawn. I only got into Tales of the Bounty Hunter. I had the entire run of the X-Wing series.
Oh boy.
It was like six.
Not a lot of people can say that.
That's why whenever they mention Captain Antilles in the new movies, I'm like,
Wedge.
Oh, show him.
Yeah.
Show my Wedge. The true hero of the Battle of Endor, Wedge Antilles, who single-handedly goes into the Death Star, destroys the shielding, and then escapes with the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, he makes up for the fact that he he pieces out pretty early in the first movie in the Death Star run.
He was going to blow up anyways.
He was like, hey, I can't stay with you. Sorry.
My stabilizer's on loose.
Yeah, you know, could have been a little bit of diversion.
Well.
But an Empire comes back, trips up in an AT-AT.
There you go. Yeah. He's the true hero of the series is Wedge Antilles. I stand by it.
I think there's a lot of stories that they say R2-D2 is the true hero of the series.
They mentioned him, I think, in the Force Awakens, and I was like, oh, and they didn't show him though. They're like, just go. They were like, go to Captain Antilles, and I was like, oh my god, they're gonna see.
Didn't they do that in Rogue One too? I think it's like when they're walking through.
Oh, it might have been Rogue One.
I think they say like Captain Antilles like reports or wherever.
Yeah, it's like god damn it, they still haven't shown him.
Yeah, but then the expanded universe got pretty bloated and ridiculous.
There's like how many, there's got to be like 100 books in the expanded universe.
It was completely all over the place to begin with.
Yeah,
but like once they said like, hey, we're gonna create the Yuuzhan Vong, and I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, you texted me and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, that's that is like the death knell of the, that's like why the expanded universe needed to be rebooted
when they had aliens invading from another galaxy.
Yeah, did you do like some reading on that? It's like you have like these fucking aliens coming from outside the galaxy that have like, it's basically, they took like the Borg from Star Trek but made them organic and then mixed them with like Predator and Alien and just say like, hey, let's have them blow up like half the fucking galaxy and let's kill Chewbacca by dropping a moon on top of them. And oh, it was a mess.
They killed Chewbacca?
Yeah, they dropped a fucking moon on him.
Oh my god.
Yep.
It's bad. But I mean, it's, I don't know. The expanded universe was good in some aspects and also bad in a lot of aspects. Probably bad in more aspects than it was good.
Well, during like the time like TIE Fighter came out, it was great because like
there was nothing else.
It wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't like like there was a lot of room to play with stuff, and it didn't really like, they kind of stayed away from the main characters a lot.
Right.
Like, you know, you had like TIE Fighter come out and they introduced like the TIE Defender and all this, it fleshed out like the Empire a little bit more. And
oh yeah, because this game actually introduced, this is the first time that it's visually shown what Coruscant looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they show, actually there's a scene where the Empire is addressing a group, and they don't overtly reference what it is, but it looks very much like how the Galactic Senate looks in the prequels.
Yep.
So they like definitely drew on stuff from this game for the movies that would come out later.
Yeah, you get the Imperial Palace.
Yeah.
And introduce the lesser prophets of the Sith. That's the that's the cloaked guy that you talk to.
Yeah.
So they introduced them.
So yeah, I mean they brought a lot of stuff in here, and it's also all basically propaganda.
Sure is.
Let's just I want you to listen to this quote here. So the opening crawl, there's three lines, but the first line is, at the Battle of Yavin, rebel terrorists aided by spies and traitors within the Empire struck a cowardly blow at the new symbol of Imperial power, the Death Star. In the days ahead, the Emperor will call upon the Imperial Navy to eradicate the last vestiges of a rebellion and restore law and order to the galaxy. Who does that sound like to you?
Political podcaster.
Who are we? Do we know anybody that says I'm the law and order candidate?
Listen, we're living in TIE Fighter times.
This is a lot of fascist propaganda in this.
The Russians are stealing the TIE Defender technology.
This is Admiral Zarin, man. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Who's the other admiral? There's another admiral that you take out and you kill. And they show him getting tortured.
Oh, yeah. That was when I was a kid and I first got to that part. I was like, this is awesome.
I find it interesting that this game isn't about really the Empire against the Rebels. There's very little that you're fighting the Rebels.
Right. But they did like a clever way, though, of doing it where it's like they have like the Civil War part. It's like some of them are flying Rebel ships, like the Y-Wings and whatnot. And it's a clever way to like still have it in there. But like, not have you just the same old rebel imperial conflict.
I guess they didn't think that if you were a kid back in the day and you were playing this, you probably didn't want to be blowing up Admiral Akbar and Luke and Leia. They were like, no, we can't do that. That's too much. Sure. So what we'll do is, if you want to play as the Empire, you fight some no-name pirates and stop a civil war. And basically, I think that's the first mission where you have to stop a civil war. And they bring the two sides to the table and they're like, the civil war's over. We're the Empire now, and we're going to rebuild everything and make everything better, and you're going to live under our rules. and it's great.
And life is probably going to be better for them, you know?
Space Nazis battle each other over 13 battles. That's what this game is.
Basically.
The Law and Order candidate, the emperor of the Imperial Empire, he is also part of the story. And just for spoilers, the last mission has you trying to recapture the Emperor from Admiral Zarin, who is trying to do a coup d'etat over the Empire by capturing the Emperor and holding him hostage. And you have to identify which craft he's in and then disable it and then protect it before another transport can come and take him back.
Yeah.
I want to ask you the question of how does the Emperor get captured?
I'm guessing he could have got out of that anytime he wanted to, I'm guessing. He was probably thinking 10 steps down the road, was probably testing all sorts of people.
I mean, even at the end of Return of the Jedi, you knew that the Emperor was a badass, that he had lightning that shot out of his goddamn hands.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how Admiral Zarin was able to capture him.
Unless he wanted to be captured.
But good for him. Good for him. He did it.
That's good voice acting for the Emperor in this this game too.
I would say Vader's voice acting is terrible.
Yeah. For the most part, I thought this game had a lot of really good voice acting.
Yeah.
Especially the guy you talk to in between missions.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. The English accent's good.
Yeah.
I didn't like the cloaked guy. He sounded too good.
He was like a little hokey. Yeah. But, you know.
But yeah, so the presentation of this game is phenomenal. I really like it. You enter into a mission and you have to click on a map. And they take you through step by step how the mission will play out or what the objectives are. And there are primary objectives, which if you do, you accomplish the mission. Secondary objectives, which if you do, you get a cool tattoo for the Emperor, from the Emperor's order.
Yep, get branded.
You get branded, like in the prison yard if you're a member of the White Power. You get the tattoo on you because you could be a cool space fascist if you want to be. And then... there's also bonus objectives that they don't even tell you, but you can just do them.
Yeah.
If you play around enough, you can get bonus objectives and you get a score at the end of it.
Yeah.
And that your score will actually make you, will change your rank. So the higher score you get, the higher rank you get. I think I ended up being like an admiral, which at the end of the game.
I just really liked how it was like, it wasn't like a game where you just fly out and go like, all right, blow up all the other spaceships. It's like you had to like, you could like disable stuff. You could like disable their weapons. Like you could blow out like their engines.
Yeah. You could target different parts of the ship.
You could order like your wingmen to like go and do all that stuff. Like you could order your wingmen to do so much shit.
There was, I think, like 9 or 10 different commands you could order them to do.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Which were pretty good. And if you don't order them to do anything, they just kind of sit there. And for the most part, on some missions, they'll go and do their own thing. I had a couple times where they completely fucked me on missions too, where you had to disable something and they just go and they just blew it up. Fuckers. All the fucking time. But there was a novella behind this. You go into this as a blank slate. Your character is you, essentially. You are a space fighter pilot who doesn't understand what the concept of democracy is and who really wants to support the Law and Order candidate and wants to be a police, not a space police fascist in this state that's out there. So you can go in there and you just play missions and you do it because you want to be great and you want to get tattoos on your arms and you want to be the best little imperial trooper that you can be. But there is a novella that they made for this. I didn't read it, but did you ever read it?
No, but I knew of it. And I knew you had a name.
I think it's like 60 bucks or something, or 60 pages. I'm sorry. Or something. I don't think I could find it. I tried to find a PDF of it online. I think you have to buy it on eBay. No, thank you. But yeah, there's a novella that explains further backstory behind the pilot and kind of takes some of the, I think, creativity of the story away from it.
Mm.
But the story begins right after the Battle of Hoth, And it goes right up until the Battle of Endor. So that time in there when Dash Rendar was off fighting IG-88 in Shadows of the Empire. This is also when that's happening.
It was on the junk planet.
And also this like seems like where most of the stories in Star Wars expanded universe come from. It's right in between the Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, didn't have a lot of established canon before A New Hope at the time, and didn't have anything really after Return of the Jedi at the time. So
right.
Throw them in the sweet spot.
You start off as in this game as basically, what do you call that? Cannon fodder.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a TIE fighter with no shields, and you're an untrained rookie, and you have no missiles even. And then you work your way up to the most advanced of advanced ships as you battle through all of the different missions. And there are a lot of missions in this. What was your favorite part in this game? Do you remember a specific storyline element that you really liked?
I liked the Civil War. I liked it when you had to put down the defectors.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That was fun to like fight against like other TIE fighters and stuff like that.
There's a great mission that I really liked where you start off and you're in a TIE interceptor and you have two wingmen, and the guy goes, "Hey, rookies, watch this hotshot pilot take out this minefield in an unshielded TIE interceptor." And you have to go and sweep a minefield without any shields. And in the middle of it, your wingmen turn on you because you're a part of a Admiral Zarin's heel turn.
Yep. Yep.
Who's the bad guy in this game. And that was my favorite part. Because it's just like out of nowhere, you're just trying to not blow up from these mines that are shooting lasers at you. How supposedly, I guess, space mines do that. In later missions, too, they not only shoot you with lasers, they shoot missiles at you. It gets ridiculous, this
game. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's hard. You know, but that's what you get to manage your shields for.
Well, you if you're in a TIE interceptor, you have no shields.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, when you get the TIE defender later.
Yeah, and then you get a beam, too. You get the beam weapon.
You get the tractor beam, slow people down.
It's weird. So there's 13 different battles with a number of different missions in each battle. It can be anywhere from, like, seven missions in the different battles. So you had seven battles plus, in the original game, plus Defenders of the Empire. It wasn't Heirs to the Empire, it was Enemies of the Empire, or the two expansions. Then you had the Training Simulator. Did you ever do any of the Training Simulator missions?
Yeah.
You have to fly through the tunnel.
Yeah, I did it. Like I didn't do it a ton, but yeah,
I got all the badges.
I would fuck with it here and there.
It is so. If you hit the thing we keep talking about is this game does a really good job of rewarding you as the player for a game that came out in 1994. It had basically what amounted to achievements. So if you hit exit,
listen, that's how you keep people loyal to the Empire,
right?
You know,
so if you hit exit, the first thing you'll see is that you'll see your options. But if you scroll through, you can actually look at, your medals you won. If you've beaten a mission or if you've completed bonus objectives or secondary objectives, you get little badges for each mission that you did it on. And then you also get badges if you beat the training in the combat simulator. And then if you scroll over your arm, you get to see your space Nazi tattoos.
Kind of surprised they never did a crossover with the Daleks from Doctor Who. This would have been like perfect in like the mid-90s.
Star Wars?
Yeah.
Well,
would have been awesome.
I mean, Doctor Who was like dead in the mid-90s.
Yeah, listen, they had that awesome movie.
Do you still watch? Are you watching new Doctor Who?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yes.
I fell off after Peter Capaldi came on. I watched like three episodes and I was like, I can't do this.
You should watch the Jodie Whittaker series.
Is it better? Which one is it most like out of the new ones?
How Jodie Whittaker is?
Yeah.
Closer to David Tennant.
Okay. He was my favorite.
Yeah.
Because Matt Smith had me at wit's end, and then Peter Capaldi came and they did like a 3-episode arc where he didn't know he was the Doctor, and I was like, oh my God, it's just fucking, you're the Doctor, okay?
Yeah, this is... Jodie Whittaker, I say, is closer to David Tennant than any others.
David Tennant still kind of unique, favorite.
Though. But, you know, I think there's, at the time of this recording, there's been 5 episodes.
Yeah.
And they've all been really good. The last one from last week was kind of...
She's had 2 seasons, hasn't she?
Nope.
This is first season. First season? Only 5 episodes?
Yep. It's been very... The last episode was, like, very run-of-the-mill. It was just kind of like they were in space, had to solve a problem, solved it. Didn't really like kind of add any character development or anything. It's going to be like the forgotten episode of this season, but the rest has been fantastic.
Well, that's good. Did you watch Daredevil?
Not yet.
Did you watch the second season of Daredevil?
Yes.
Okay. Watch the third season of Daredevil.
Cool.
It's probably the best season of Daredevil. It is real good. Bullseye's in it. He's good. So yeah, variety of different vehicles to choose from, 7 in total. You have the TIE Fighter, TIE Bomber, TIE Interceptor, Assault Gunboat, TIE Advance, TIE Defender, and the Missile Boat, which the TIE Defender, I think, and the Missile Boat were only in the expansions.
No, Defender was in the regular, game, yeah.
Okay. Each vehicle really is, it feels different. Some have shields, some have missiles, some have beams, some have...
Some have everything, like the Defender.
Well, the Assault Gunboat has everything, too, but... It moves like a piece of shit. It's really slow. And if you go slow in this game, you feel it, because other guys can move around you really quickly. And that's another thing. You have to manage your... We were talking about laser recharge rates and shield recharge rates. You have to manage that. So if you have them up too high, you go really slow, especially if you're in an assault gunboat. But basically, if you look at the keyboard, you use every button on the keyboard. There are a million fucking things for you to do in this game. It feels like you're piloting a spaceship.
Yeah, you're the man.
I mean, you have the ability to change your laser and recharge rates, but you also have the ability to change your throttle. And just to kind of walk people through here how expansive the keyboard usage is, there's a button to increase and decrease your speed by a little bit each time. So I think it's plus or minus. There's a button to go full throttle or zero throttle. There's a button to go 2/3 or 1/3 speed. And there's a button to match the speed of your target. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different buttons for you to press just to manage your throttle.
Yeah. Plus you get your laser combos.
Yes, but that's one button. I think that's X on the default. But there are 14 different buttons you can press to set your target.
Yeah.
There's next, previous, there's closest, there's newest. There's all these different combinations for setting your target. There's also combinations of buttons that you can do. So I mentioned there's 9, I think, or 10 different wingmen things that you can do. There's also a button you can eject. I don't understand why.
You just gave up.
Why you need to do that. Is that what that's for?
So you can quit the level with a little bit of flair.
But you can also, if you have a hyperdrive, you can hit H and then you go into hyperspeed.
Yeah, but you know. I mean, you know, it's a simulation.
There's no consequences to you ejecting. Sometimes you'll get a different cutscene after the end of the mission if you die, and then you have to revive yourself.
Don't they put you in the back to tank?
Yes.
At one point?
Yeah. Well, it's not the back to tank's an X-Wing, because that's what the Rebels use.
Yes.
The Empire has like a MRI machine type thing that has needles that come in you and scans you with a neon thing. So yes, there are a million different things, and it really makes you feel like you're in a cockpit when you're playing this game. There's also a cool, like, if you press M and you hit the map is a cool little 3D thing.
Yeah.
So for 1994, it was pretty dope.
I think it's still kind of holds up.
I will say too, just playing this game, yeah, this game definitely holds up. I think it really benefits from the fact that you're out in outer space and there's not much to render except for the ships, but you're in a fully 3D environment. And this was the same year that Doom came out, and you're flying around 3D, and there can be like dozens of ships on a map.
Star Destroyers.
I have no clue how they did it back then at the time, because it's great. It's crazy how good it is still.
I mean, I wouldn't say like the ships are like the most detailed things on the planet.
No, but you know what they are if you look at them. I mean, the TIE fighters and X-Wings and Y-Wings and all the fighters look great.
Yeah.
I will say, like, if you look at a blob like a Mon Calamari cruiser, it does not look that great.
No, like, the bigger ships certainly. And like the containers and stuff like that, they all kind of look like shit.
No, they're
like,
all big and flat.
And the big like the no big detail. Platforms, the big like triangular or circular platforms, those all looked a little rough.
Anything big looks bad. Even like assault transports that are like these bigger things, they don't look good. But this game is still very fun to play, very challenging. Definitely for me, one of my favorite games growing up. But yes, so. But just thinking about the presentation of this game, the cutscenes.
Yep.
were really good for a game that was in the 90s. How it told a story for a game that came out in 1994 is pretty amazing.
Even though the full motion video at the beginning isn't that bad.
No. Well, it's not really full motion video. It's like animated, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's like hand animated. It's like the LucasArts style.
Done. Yeah, it's very LucasArts. It's like even like the way they have like the text over the subtitles and the characters speaking. It just like it looks just like they're point and click adventure games from the time.
It's really good. It's done really well. Introduces a lot of elements that were in Expanded Universe and talked about in the trilogy, and they actually show it in this game.
Yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn. That was the first time I saw him as a kid.
Yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn, who defied the racial stereotypes of the Empire.
That's right.
Became a Grand Admiral in this game.
Yeah.
He becomes a Grand Admiral.
Yep. He, overcame the speciesism that the Empire was notorious for.
Yeah, because I don't know if people know, but the Empire is basically just a bunch of white supremacist fascists.
Yeah, and they pretty much all have European accents.
Except for the fact that they need their token blue guy. Who is Grand Admiral Thrawn?
Yeah.
What is his race?
Chiss.
He's a Chiss.
I don't know how you actually pronounce it, but...
You never see any other species in the Empire.
Nope, just him. Yes. But he was someone that got, like, as the Expanded Universe went on, he kind of got, like, shoehorned into, like, everything.
Yeah, because he was, like, the best Expanded Universe character. They actually brought him into the new Expanded Universe. Whatever they call it.
Now the old Expanded Universe is now Legends.
Yes, but they have a new canon, and he's in it. They brought him into it. I think he's in, like, Rebels or one of the cartoons.
Yeah.
So that is actually something. Have you read the new canon?
I read the Dr. Aphra comic book. That's really good. But I haven't really read any, like, the books or anything like that. But I know, like, they treat, like, it's a much more cohesive universe now.
I guess. Because I feel like it's still vague. It's more cohesive, but it's
When I say cohesive, I mean like Disney is like kind of controlling, like there's parameters that people have to operate in.
Right. I will say, so I was reading an article, I think on like IO9 or one of those websites about what actually is in the new, like the canon. Cause if you watch Force Awakens and you just watch Return of the Jedi and didn't know anything that happened in between, it's really confusing, obviously, for like a lot of stuff. Like, why is the New Republic so small? How did they just get blown up in a system by this New Order? Why is the New Order not the Empire?
Right.
What the fuck is happening?
Right. And then they put out some books.
Yeah. And I read, like, and it makes total sense. And I think if they made the movie version of it, people would complain that it's a lot like Attack of the Clones because it's like all politics.
Yeah. I mean, that's stuff that works better, I think, in book form. Right. Than I think would work as a Star Wars movie. But
yeah. So Mon Mothma became the Chancellor after Return of the Jedi. She did a really good job. Then they passed the baton to somebody else who sucked at their job. The Empire eventually under Mon Mothma came back into the fold, but there was a group that splintered off and went to the Outer Rim. And this is the quick short version of what happened. They went to the Outer Rim and they became the New Order. And slowly but surely the New Order infected the New Republic by promoting candidates for the New Republic who were insidious and started to destroy the New Republic from within. And they lost power. They couldn't form a coalition to go after the New Order within the New Republic because they had so many people inside of the Galactic Senate who were these people who might have been white supremacist sympathizers or New Order sympathizers, if you will. They might have been Law and Order candidates. So they let the threat sit on the outside and they let it grow and fester to the point where they built Starkiller Base over the course of 30 years. And then they blew up the New Republic because of political inaction that happened in the Galactic Senate. Because at the end of the day, what this tells us is that democracy is not the best form of government and that Princess Leia just needs to go off and form guerrilla groups to become communists and space communists and go fight the space fascists.
Space communists. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
That's what happens.
You know.
So. And I wish I knew that going into The Force Awakens, but I did not. Mm. And so I was very confused.
Mm.
And also, The Last Jedi blew. Well, actually,
I think it was that
bad. I'm going to take a step back. When I first saw it, I thought it was bad. I first saw The Force Awakens, I thought it was okay. I thought it was better than the prequels, because the prequels were dog shit for the most part, except for Revenge of the Sith,
but no, that's still kind of shitty.
I liked it.
You know, I think people look at that with rose-colored glasses a little bit.
I've watched it recently. I watched it before I watched Last Jedi. The Revenge of the Sith.
I just think Attack of the Clones was kind of the one that got the unfair
beat down. No chance. That movie's terrible. Especially the last sequence. I remember when I went to go see it and I saw Yoda jumping around for the first time and I was like,
yeah, it's a little silly.
Like, what is that? Silly. What is happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I watched Force Awakens again when it came back on out on Netflix and I liked it better. I will say, out of all the new movies I haven't watched Solo yet. Did you watch Solo?
Yeah, Solo was all right. Solo was, I don't know. I guess I put it on. It was a lot better than I expected it to be.
Yeah, because everybody talks shit about that movie. I feel like I have such low expectations that if I watch it, I'll enjoy it.
It's not, I think it's actually better probably than The Last Jedi.
Okay.
But Rogue One is where it's at, though.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Rogue One was so good. I just watched that again recently, too, and I was like, wow, this game's... I will say, like, there's a lot of shit that's in that movie that is kind of doesn't need to be in there. Like, for example, the two Asian fellows who are just there because they want to sell the movie in China and action figures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know. It's what Star Wars is all about. Selling toys.
Yes, because that's literally... There is no reason...
It's like Transformers.
There's no reason why the guy who believes in the Force... I forget what he says, but... And the guy with the big machine gun are in that movie.
Look, we're talking about a franchise that has made action figures on people that are in the background of a cantina and fleshed out a whole like backstory to them on the back of like
action figure cards. I mean, we're talking about the movie franchise that invented tie-in action figures, essentially.
Well, yeah, that and like, you know, it's like a step above Transformers, which was like, hey, we got these toys. Make like a show around them, please.
Just like a quasi step above
that. Yeah. Well, hey, that's the deal. Like, Lucas, I think it was like he signed over like the earnings from the original movies, but he would keep all the merchandising money.
Oh, really?
And I think that's why there was such a push. But hey, that made him his billions was the merchandise.
I'm not really excited for Star Wars anymore because there's a movie that comes out every year now.
Yeah, they gotta pump the brakes on that a little bit. Yeah,
they gotta like chill out or do something different. I mean.
It's weird how we got like Star Wars fatigue, but we don't have like superhero fatigue.
I would say before Infinity War, I had superhero fatigue.
I mean, I had it like a long time ago. But I mean, as the populace as a whole,
just yeah. I mean, those movies make a ton of money. But I feel like even I'd say before Black Panther, I had superhero fatigue. There was a lot of because I didn't go see Thor Ragnarok, for example.
I haven't seen most of them.
And then I went to go see it, and I was like, duh. All right. I saw it on Netflix, and I was like, oh, this is really good.
The last three I've seen were Logan, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Venom.
Yeah. Did you see Venom?
Yeah. Venom was awesome. Venom is so good.
Good in a bad way?
Yeah. It's like it's like an Ed Wood movie. If Ed Wood made like like a superhero movie, that's a compliment for me. That's a big compliment.
That's good. That's good. But yeah, so Star Wars, we don't know where it's going to go, but it's here. And Disney's going to keep making money off of it.
Yeah.
They're going to make
the Mandalorian TV series.
Oh my God, Disney Plus. I completely forgot all about that. They just named that series, that subscription service.
Yeah.
They're also making a series based on Cassian Andor from Rogue One.
Oh, well.
Did you read that this week?
I think I saw that.
Yeah, so they announced two series, the Bounty Hunter series, The Mandalorian. I don't even know if he's a bounty hunter in that. He just looks like Boba Fett.
Yeah, it's... Well, I think the premise is that like it's supposed to be like another bounty hunter that's wearing a Mandalorian armor.
Okay.
I mean, the Mandalorians were warriors. They weren't bounty hunters.
Right. Well, we don't know because we don't have the expanded universe anymore.
I think that's been reestablished that they were like the warrior race. Okay.
Well, we have a lot of Star Wars coming out. I am not going to get Disney Plus. I am a big Star Trek fan, and I have not gotten CBS All Access, and I haven't watched Star Trek Discovery, because I'm not going to pay $9.99 for fucking one show Star or Trek. Two shows.
Get out of here with that bullshit.
Stupid. At least Netflix is like, they have other stuff besides Marvel TV shows. Like, I'm watching The Haunting of Hill House, and that show is fucking great. And there's always these random movies that come out. I watched, there was a movie called The Endless. You have Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watch The Endless. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. It's a 2-hour-long movie.
That's how to sell it.
It's a 2-hour-long movie. It is a horror movie and also a sci-fi movie. It is worth the 2 hours to go watch that movie. Mm. It is very, very good. But if I tell you anything about that movie, you will not appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go, you know. Just go look it up and look up their two-sentence description of it, and I think you'll want to watch it.
I mean, is it going to be better or worse than the Godzilla anime?
I watched the Godzilla anime recently, and that is fucking terrible.
That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yes.
For a Godzilla fan like myself. Well, the second one.
What the fuck is happening in that?
The second one is a smidge better. But yeah, the first part is not good. The third one's about to come out in a couple months, too.
There's one thing I cannot hate. So I watched some anime. I've watched a couple of different things this past year. I watched One Punch Man, Attack on Titan, and I watched something else recently. I forget. Oh, I watched some Gundam stuff, but I could not watch that Godzilla stuff.
I love the Godzilla design, though. The Godzilla design is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Old Man Godzilla is great. Yeah. But the angry anime guy is terrible. And so, Chris, what's your recommendation for people in this game? Do you think that they should play it? Don't play it at all. Play it or finish it.
My recommendation is that people should play it while listening to Dos Cecchini Jr. SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/DOSCECCHINI Jr.
Okay. And
you didn't plug me in the last episode.
Well, there we go.
I got to take care of myself.
I have it written down here to plug you on this one. I have it on my notes.
Mm.
But we do something here called our endless list of games.
Oh, yeah.
Where we add a new game to our list. Currently, it's at 13 games. It goes all the way from Legend of Zelda through to Contra Hardcore. Among every generation we're going to talk about, every time frame.
How the fuck is Cuphead above Star Fox 64?
Oh my god.
What the fuck?
Stop it with the Cuphead.
Well, you know, take it off. It'll stop.
So the list is judged on gameplay, on contemporaneous gameplay, how it played for the time period. If it's still fun to play, graphics, you know, how the graphics were in the time. What innovations it brought to the table for the time period. We take all these things into consideration, what its influence was on future games. So on this list, there's too many for us to talk about anymore to list down on this podcast. But we do have a link in the description of this podcast. There's a link to this list. It's up on our Medium page. We have a Medium page now where you can go to and see our ranking. But where do you think this game goes on the endless list of games?
Well,
this will be the 14th entry.
You know, it certainly does go above Cuphead. I'm putting it at number 4. That's what I'm doing.
Number 4.
Because, you know.
You think it's better than Final Fantasy VI?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because, you know, I mean.
I think, so my baseline here is that when I look at this list, I see one other Starfighter game. Not Star Fox 64, which we just talked about last episode. And I think that this game is definitely better than Star Fox 64. So I think it goes above that. I don't know if it goes above Final Fantasy VI.
Well, you know, I'm going to say, you know, things in Star Fox 64 probably took some inspiration from TIE Fighter. You know?
Yeah.
There probably were some elements to it. And I think future, you know, particularly like the Rogue Squadron series and stuff took some elements from TIE Fighter.
Well, I think they took elements more from Star Fox, the original Star Fox, which came out before this.
Mm. Well, I guess we have a difference of opinion there. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's better than Final Fantasy VI. I think it's better than River City Ransom.
No, yes, I'll say that.
I think the Virtual Boy library is better than Cuphead.
Virtual Boy library.
I don't think it's better than Metroid, though. I don't think it's better than GoldenEye.
No, I don't think it's better than GoldenEye or Metroid. I just don't think, like, I think on influence wise, it lacks a lot.
So what are we doing here?
Compared to Final Fantasy VI, we're splitting the baby here. Or River City Ransom.
We're putting it what? So I'm saying 4. You're saying 8. So we're meeting somewhere at the middle.
I think it's better than Mortal Kombat. I think it's probably better than Final Fantasy VI, but I don't think it's as influential. I think just the fact that it still has the ability, you can play this game today and it still plays like a really good game.
Well,
and it's challenging.
It sounds like we're compromising somewhere between 6 and 7. That's what it sounds like.
Do you want to do it at 5? Or at, not at 5, let's say, yeah. Or do you want to do it at 6, below Final Fantasy VI? So push Final Fantasy six to seven.
Yeah, I would do that.
All right.
All right. It's a deal.
We made a deal.
Yeah.
So it's above a River City Ransom, but below Final Fantasy VI. So coming in at number 6 currently is TIE Fighter here on It's So Bad. And we have a cat on the table again.
Sure do.
And he's not leaving this time.
Listen, people like it when you talk about your cat on podcasts.
I know. He's here. His name is Bill.
You hit that target audience.
We call him Commander Bill because he's named after Commander Bill Adama from Battlestar Galactica. Another space combat series.
You know what else is a great space combat series? Space Above and Beyond.
Oh my God. That show was great. I watched that show back in the day. Had like marine episodes. You're like, what the fuck is happening?
That was just a season, right?
It was 2 seasons, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because they eventually showed the bad guy, the Chiggs.
They
called him.
Yes.
It's vaguely racist.
I know when you said that, I was like, that does sound kind of dicey.
But yes, this has been It's So Bad. Chris, thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Hey, anytime.
What do you want to do next?
Oh, I've tossed out RuneScape. Although, I don't know, that's a... You've never like really gotten into that, though. No. I feel like that's going to be a hard one to do. I had a... we done now? We just spitballing now?
No, we're keeping on.
Oh, okay. I've said RuneScape. Oh, I had another good one the other day. I mean, we could do Spider-Man 2 for PS2.
Ooh. I have that game.
That's a fantastic game.
We haven't done a PS2 game yet.
That also has some of the original Call of Duty games on there.
Why don't you think about this for a little while?
And then Marvel vs. Capcom.
Ooh. I don't have that game, and that's an expensive game to get. So
I have,
let's temper that
I have the PlayStation 1.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That might be a good one just to... I have a friend who's really into fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
He might want to join that one. Again, thank you, Chris. And also check out Dos Chiquini Jr. on...
SoundCloud. Twitter.
Facebook.
Yep, Facebook.
You can follow us at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. You can find us at itssobadpod.podbean.com. You can find, if you want to email us your questions, comments, or concerns, itssobadpod@gmail.com. And we have a Medium page, the It's So Bad.
Do you have a P.O. box that people could send you letters to?
No, and we don't have a Patreon either, unfortunately. Someday.
Oh.
We'll never probably have a Patreon. But again, thank you for joining us. We will be back in 2 weeks for another episode, and it will not be space related. Fortunately for you. So if you didn't enjoy space,
hope you like Echo the Dolphin.
Bad. Yes. Echo the Dolphin next time. Doubt it, but thank you for listening. Peace.